an older guy that's trying to be a young guy. We appreciate you, John. God bless you, bro. Thank you so much for leading us in wonderful, wonderful worship. And if we could have the house lights come on, then I'll invite us to turn in our bulletin to our prayer and praise list as Randy Denny, one of our elders, comes and lead us today. Let's go to the Lord together in intercession.
First, Tom was saying about Thanksgiving, Black Friday, everybody's getting all geared up about that, and they finally, and Christmas is coming, you got to get all the packages going, and so that's Jesus' birthday, and of course we have the manger setting here, and we just thank God for the prophecies that foretold of Jesus' birth, where he was going to be born, and all like that, what kind of rings with me is, are we going to keep him in a cradle, or are we going to put him where he's at right now, right hand of the Father? So are we going to keep him as a child, or or are we going to exalt him to his right standing? So, where am I, and where are you guys keeping him in our hearts? He's worthy of our praise, and Buddha and Jim Jones and Muhammad, all of them, they're still molding in the grave, but Jesus is gone. He's resurrected. So we got to hold him as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the fairest of 10,000. You go on and on, the lily of the valley. So that's who we're praying to today, and that's what our hope is in. That's who our hope is in. So please pray with me. Lord, we do take great pleasure to lift your name on high, Lord. We just thank you that we can gather, or two or more gather in name, you're here, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you we can lift up our country. We thank you it was based on your principles, Lord. We just pray that you work in the hearts of the leaders that would move them toward that foundation, that principle of God and one man created equal, Lord, and enable rights forever, Lord. We just pray that you guide our leaders in that way, Lord. Lord, we just thank you that we can lift up others throughout the world, specifically this creative access countries, this movement that's going on, these two individuals who are considering the claims of Christ. And what came to my mind, Lord, was what Roger passed on last week, that we know, we hear the word, we consider it, and then we present ourselves. Lord, we just pray that these two take the next step and present themselves to you, and that you will meet them, Lord, touch their hearts and change them forevermore, Lord. We pray that they'll take that step and find the reality of a living God. Lord, we lift up the persecuted church in Nepal, this protection under this development of the new constitution. Lord, we just pray that you work in the hearts of the leaders in that country, Lord, that they will not leave you out, that they'll realize that they'll be blessed if they put you as the foundation of their constitution, Lord. Just pray that you work in their hearts. Lord, we pray for the peace of Israel and Jerusalem. Lord, with all the turmoil going on, we just pray that you give them the peace and guide them and protect that country, Lord. With all that's going on, Lord, we pray for that in accordance to your word. Be faithful to you. Lord, we thank you for our community, our jobs, and the ones that, with our budget, Lord, it's just amazing how things have worked out. We give you the praise for that and the income to provide for our families. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you as Ollie spoke out, Lord, about sustaining his life. Who would know 6 months ago or what the situation would be now, but you preserved his life, Lord. We just praise you for that good report. And it's a real experience for him. It's not some fantasy, Lord. So it's a true testimony. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you that we're able to lift others in our church up, and we're in this venue, and we're not prohibited to do that, Lord. We just thank you that we can lift these ones up and these physical needs and others, Lord. Lord, we lift up Tammy Nielsen, who lost her her brother, Frank, moved on. He's with you, Lord, and he's rejoicing with you, Lord. No more pain. That we're all seeking that at some point, Lord, but you, we're still alive. We have a mission. We have things we need to do, what you want us to do, Lord. We just pray that we can be wise and find out what they are, Lord, you given the breath that we have. Lord, we pray for the family of Tori. It's a co-worker, Augustine, is passing, Lord, that he is in heaven too, rejoicing with you because he trusts in Jesus. Lord, lift up Brother Randy Timms. He's having breathing problems. He's here today. We thank you for that. We pray for continued healing for him, Lord. We lift up a friend of Timmy Kofelt, Molly McCarthy. Lord, we just pray that you be with her and touch her and heal her, Lord. Be with her today. We call her by name. Lift up Greg Lance's mom, Marge. Pray that you be with her and touch her, Lord. I thank you that we're able to call out these names so we may be able to give them a phone call here when we get out of church or this week. Lord, we lift up others that we see listed in the bulletin, the strength of their bodies, Lord. It's Dorothy Burgess, Jan Nelson's mom, Casey Denny, and baby Madison. They've come home and adjusting, and just pray that bond between Casey and the baby would grow, Lord, that your hand would, the days that you have for that baby would be carried out, Lord, for your glory. We lift up Richard Griffin, Lord, Jay Johns, he's here today. Thank you for strengthening his body. Ann Johnson, Greg Lance, which we always prayed about his mom, Tammy Nielsen's with her brother, Lord, would strengthen her and give her comfort. Les Ramson's here today. Thank you for strengthening him. My brother's here. Phil Tankersley's here. Thank you for that. And the Thompson family, Lord, with the passing. Joe, I just pray that you continue to strengthen them, Lord, that he is in no pain now. He is rejoicing, Lord. Freedom of pain. Help them to adjust to Joe not being here, Lord, and going on and being a continued great witness for you. Lord, we lift up Mrs. Ruth Wosky and Ms. Joyce Whitford and Ms. Neil Younger, which I believe is here today. Yep. And let's thank you, Lord. We can lift them all up. We call their name, and we come in agreement that you would be with them, Lord, to strengthen their bodies. And we lift up also Glenn Morrison's here. He's having a problem with a cold or flu. Let's pray that you touch him too. Lord, your word says, pray ye one for another. And that's what we want to do, Lord. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we continue. We read from God's Word, Romans chapter 5, 1 through 11. So if everybody could stand, read together. All right, please join with me. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God, not only so, but also in the sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, but God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. We see at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. We rarely anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only in this, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Praise God for that. pray for Pastor Tom. But Lord God, I just want to add one additional prayer. Let me pray for Olivia Salt and Fuss.
Yes.
As she's coming home on Wednesday from Haiti, Lord, we just pray that you make the path straight, that you preserve her life and safety, that you return home safely for her family, Lord, that you have a good report of what you're doing through her. We praise you for that, Lord. Lift up Pastor Tom. We just pray that the word will come through him, that you have full reign in this service, Lord, that you would edify your church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Neglected to dismiss our children for children's church a few minutes ago, so they can head on out now. Some of them may have already exited out, so let's bless our kids as they go out. Amen. Amen. Isn't it good to see them running? I mean, they're running to hear God's word. How many of us run to hear Pastor Tom preach? Some of you run away, don't you? Amen. Amen. We are excited that Olivia Sultanfuss is coming home on Wednesday. And also, Zach, how do you pronounce his last name?
Zachary DeRose.
And he is the son of the missionary there that you met last year, I believe it was. And he also will be coming to the States for a few days. And they're going to be sharing next Sunday in the service. So you don't want to miss that. I want to encourage you to be a part and see what God has to say to you. Maybe there's someone here that he wants to call into the work of missions as well. So we look forward to that very, very much. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you haven't already, to Romans chapter 5 as we continue in our series in Romans. And there is in the bulletin as well a outline that goes along with the message and with the PowerPoint if you find that helpful. Haven't seen too many pictures here lately, pictures of Pastor Tom or different scenes. Some of you love to doodle and make pictures, and I don't get offended at that at all. I appreciate it. A few weeks ago, I either lost my wallet or it was stolen. And if you've ever had that happen to you, it is a horrible feeling. All of a sudden, you realize your wallet's missing, and you go running around crazy, you know, looking for it, trying to find it. My dear brother Les was with me at the time, and we backtracked, and we looked everywhere for this wallet. You know, three or four times we backtracked, and the next day did it again, and so on and so forth. No wallet. No wallet. It's awful. I'm thankful that there wasn't any money in it. Usually don't have much money in my wallet, so and I don't carry a lot of cash usually, so you know, it's gone. The wallet was gone. My license was gone. My credit cards were gone. My debit card was gone. That's especially problematic. See, because therefore I had no access to my money. My money is in the bank. And it's mine. You know, it's there for me. And my family, but mostly for me. But but I couldn't access it. I couldn't take it out to use it. I couldn't make it mine. It was just sitting there in the bank. And of course, I could go up, you know, to the banker, to the teller, and, you know, just be as nice as I can. Even, you know, even Jeannie, even though she knows me and she's at my bank next door, you know, if I don't have my access card or check or something like that, she's like, sorry, kiddo. You ain't getting no money. You've got to have access. Well, God's grace is there for us, but you've got to have access to it. No access, no grace. And access to this grace has been made available to every one of us, as the Scripture says, through a new and living way, through Jesus Christ. This access is available for every one of us. But you must have this access for God's grace. If you don't have access to God's grace, no access, no grace. And the first few chapters of Romans has been talking about that if you don't have access to grace through Christ, then you have law and God's wrath. You have law and the consequences or the punishment of law, which is God's wrath, God's judgment. And so the main point of this message is this, that we do indeed have access into God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and along with that we have His commitment to produce perseverance and character in us. As I start this message and I bring to us something that may be familiar to many of you, but perhaps it's new to some of you, that we must have access into the grace of God, and that access comes by faith in Christ. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? And what I mean by that is, I'm not talking about just an easy believism. I'm not talking just about a head knowledge. I'm talking about, have you responded in faith to God's call, God's grace working in you and calling and drawing you to put your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you come to that place where you have put your faith in Christ? But also, watch this, also so that you can have God's grace so that it works in you powerfully. Grace not only that you may be saved, that you may be forgiven, that you may have peace with God, that you may be reconciled to God, grace so that you are justified before God, but also grace so that you may stand in God, you may grow in Him, that you may persevere in Him. Let's talk about it. When we talk about access, the word access means to move towards, to be able to approach God in this context. So access to God means you are able to have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. Therefore, you're able to have His grace. He gives you His grace. Thank you for the water. Thank you. I missed that. It's interesting how God puts things together. This morning in our Sunday school class, we have been looking at, in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 27, I believe it is, the tabernacle. How God prescribed the people of Israel to build this tabernacle, which was basically a big portable tent with, you know, a wall all around it. And God prescribed His people to build this. And in the middle of this tabernacle, this tent, there is a place called the Most Holy Place, sometimes also referred to as the Holy of Holies. And this was the place, it was curtained off with a veil, and only one person could go into that place and have access to God's presence, and that was the high priest. At the time, of course, it was Aaron. And then they also made special vestments, special clothing, that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And he was to represent the people before God, and God would speak to him and also give his direction, give his communication back for the people. Only the priest had access to God. And throughout the centuries, it was understood that, you know, if you were an ordinary person, if you weren't the high priest, and you tried to go into the Holy of Holies, guess what? No access, you get squashed. No access, you will die. In fact, it became common tradition, and in the time of Jesus it was practiced, that the high priest had a rope tied around his leg and also had bells sewn into his vestments at the bottom, because the problem was this. If this priest went in and he was unworthy, if he, for some reason, had defiled himself and committed sin, he was going to die. Well, who could go in to get him? I ain't going in there. Mm-mm. And so, if they heard the bell stop for a period of time, then they had to assume the worst, that this guy was dead and that he could drag him out with a rope. That's a picture of God's judgment and severity, but also of His access. His access was prescribed to His people in very special and meticulous ways. You didn't just approach God. You didn't just come to God however you felt like it. You didn't have a cavalier attitude towards God. You remember what God said to Moses as Moses was going up on the mountain, and God allowed 70 elders, representatives of the 12 tribes, allowed them to come up on the mountain part of the way. And he said, no one is to come up and approach the mountain. If you do, you will die. You're like, wow, that sounds pretty severe. We have to understand God is revealing not only his love and his mercy and compassion, but he's also revealing his judgment and his justice and his holiness. You don't just approach God however you feel like it. At that point, there was only one way of access to God. And then thankfully for the new covenant, the new and living way is that God has granted access to all of us, to any one of us, through his Son, Jesus Christ. You remember what happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross. It says, in the Gospel of Matthew, it says, and the temple veil, the veil that covered that holy of holy places, that curtain was rent in two, representing and symbolizing that access to the most holy of holy places was available now through Christ. Grace is available to you and to me. Grace is available through Christ, and only through Christ. Well, when we talk about grace, often in churches we talk about grace, don't we? What does it mean? And I've given you some definitions before, but I want to expand on that definition. If we could have that, there it is, grace. Grace is the unmerited favor, goodness, and mercy of God towards us. Grace is this, that you and I don't get what we deserve. You and I don't get what we deserve. We deserve death, punishment, separation from God. Our sins have separated us from God. Where earlier in Romans, Paul went to great lengths to make the point that every one of us have sinned. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, God's standard, and all of us deserve punishment, wrath. But God, in his great mercy, has provided a way of forgiveness and salvation. And so grace is not getting what we deserve, but the flip side is we get what we don't deserve. You and I don't deserve mercy. We don't deserve goodness. We don't deserve God's favor, but he gives it to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? How many of you are thankful for God's mercy and grace in your life? I don't want justice. I've heard Christians say this. You know, they get mad at somebody or they hear some terrible thing that happened and they say, oh man, I hope that person gets what he deserves. Whoa, hold on a minute now. Is that what you want? You want to get what you deserve? I don't want to say that to somebody else. Now, we have a justice system, yes, and there is punishment for crimes, yes, but in terms of, you know, God's economy, I don't want anybody to get what they deserve, and I certainly don't want to get what I deserve, so I don't wish that on anybody. Jesus said, don't judge, and you will not be judged. And then he explained it. He says, the same measure by which you judge, it will be judged to you. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be judged even by my own measure, because my own measure is faulty. My own judgment is faulty. You know? You see, it's like when somebody else sins, you know, that's a big major issue. But when I sin, not so much. Right? And we're all like that. When somebody else sins, man, can you believe so and so? Really? Really? But when we sin, oh, that's no big deal, man. You know. I don't want to be judged like that. I don't want that same measure judged to me. And so grace is, I don't get that. I get God's measure of compassion and mercy because he poured out his wrath upon his Son. Now, grace is not only this unmerited favor and goodness and mercy of God towards us. Watch this. You still with me? Say amen. Grace is that we are justified, reconciled, and adopted by God as his sons and daughters. Salvation and grace is given to us freely. And we become his sons and daughters. You can't do anything to make that happen. You can't do anything. You cannot do things to become his son or his daughter. That's something that God grants to you through grace when we have a response of faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and His drawing in our life. Now, I want to say this because we as humans struggle with this issue of pride. And so when we think about salvation, we think about grace, a lot of times our ego gets in the way. What do I mean by that? You see, salvation and grace that brings about salvation is always a humiliation for the human ego. Grace is always a humiliation for the human ego. Because, you see, I want to feel that I have done something to accomplish this, to deserve this, you know? And we can fall into this as Christians. Oh, well, you know, I've been going to church for 30 years, you know, and, you know, I've done a lot of good deeds. So what? That grants you no access to God. You see, our ego is always mixed up on us. We want to somehow think that we deserve it. We're worthy. We're at least a little better than the person next to us, right? Or especially better than that sinner over there. Oh, man, see the things he does or she does? And, you know, we get this attitude, this ego rises up in us that, you know, somehow we can earn or deserve God's grace. Listen, God says that our righteous acts, anything that we could do in and of ourselves, our righteous acts are as filthy rags before Him. Our best righteousness is like a filthy rag in terms of God's comparison to His holiness. And see, you have to come to that place where you understand grace is all of God and none of me. Now, I do have to respond. And there is this mystery where the grace of God and human response contacts. I understand that. Some people say that there is nothing of you in your salvation. I don't agree with that. If that was the case, why would Jesus over and over again give invitation? Why would He over and over again say, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest"? Why would He say to you, "Come and put your faith in Me. Believe in Me. You've believed in the Father. Believe also in Me." Over and over again. And so there is a response of faith. We'll talk about that in just a moment. God's grace is the gift of God towards us. And access, number one, as we break it down, access into God's grace comes only through faith in Christ, not by good works, not by obeying the law. We ended, it's been a couple of weeks since I preached, but we ended chapter 4, and look with me at verse 23. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. You see the provision there? You see what God has done? God has set this up for you and me through His Son. Through the death of His Son and the resurrection of His Son. That's how we come to access to grace. I'm always reminded as I read these passages in Romans, I'm reminded of an old hymn. It says this, "I had a debt I couldn't pay. He paid a debt He didn't owe. I needed someone to wash away my sins. And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay." Grace, an acronym for grace, is God's riches at Christ's expense. You and I receive access into this grace. We receive this grace. It becomes ours, and we become motivated by grace through our believing response to God's drawing, God's calling. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, just to bring the point home a little bit more. Jeannie Carpenter will read that for us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Jay Johns is going to do that. She's better looking than you, but you can do it anyway, brother.
Absolutely. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast."
The gift of God. This gift is given to you and to me. And access to grace is ours. Have you come to that place of believing faith? Have you come to that place where God has called you, He has put His finger on you, and you have said, "Yes, Lord. Yes, I believe in Christ. And now I have access to grace, and that grace, through that grace, I receive forgiveness of sins. I am justified, which is a big fancy word, means when God looks on me, He sees His Son Jesus' righteousness. So I am, it's just as if I had never sinned. Justified means just as if I had never sinned. That's how God looks on you and me. Oh, well, what about the sins that I commit after I'm saved? Jesus Christ died for all the sins past, present, and future. Think about that for just a second. This is sort of a side note. All right? Think of the weight of that sin of all the people that ever lived, past, present, and will live in the future. You're like, wait a minute, how could that be? Because the Scripture says that He, Jesus, was the Lamb of God who was slain before the creation of the earth. Revelation chapter 3. Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the creation of the earth. Before time began as we know it. In God's mind, how does that happen? It happened in God's mind. In God's mind, Jesus Christ was slain for all these sins. And think of that weight, the weight of all the sins, of your sins and my sins, of every one of us here. Just think of it just in this congregation, just our sin, the weight. And some of us are a little weightier than others. Careful now. But think about that. And Christ took all those sins upon Himself. That's why He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? In that moment, God turned His face away from Christ as He bore our sins. But then, it doesn't stop there. He gives us hope in the glory of God. It gives us hope in the glory of God. That's what it says at the end of verse 2. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Why? Because Paul is trying to explain, and he will get to it in a little bit further detail, that when we receive this grace, it gives us great hope. It gives great hope in my life. Aren't you glad, you know, that I don't have to hope that, you know, Tom, you're going to do just the best you can for the rest of your life? Because if that was it, I'd be like, well, I haven't done so good up to now by myself. I'm not sure I'm going to do much better by myself. If it was just left for me, left up to me, I am an absolute basket case. If it was just left up to me and my strength and my abilities, I'm a mess. I'm a disaster. I think there's a song that my dear wife Brenda likes. I'm a wrecking ball. You know, I wreck my own life and I wreck others' lives too. Without the grace of God in my life, I am a mess. But the hope and the glory of God is that I'm not left to myself. The glory of God is this, that the grace of God comes into your life and comes into my life, and the grace of God begins to work powerfully in my life and your life. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter if people put you down or lift you up. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter your background, what sins you've committed, where you've been. You could have been in the worst places in this world, but the grace of God, if it finds you out, the grace of God will keep you. And the grace of God will enable you to stand strong in this life. Can you say amen? Amen. Then he transitions, and he's going to explain what he means in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. What? Roger preached about that last week, didn't he? He did a great job. You know, there's so much focus today on the blessings of God, how God's, you know, going to bless you greatly and, you know, He's going to prosper you and all your problems will disappear. And most of us know that's not true, don't we? Most of us know when you become a Christian, it's a whole new set of problems that comes up. But he says, not only do we hope in the glory of God because of this grace in our lives, but now we also rejoice in our sufferings. Wow. Paul, I don't get that. I don't even know if I want to get that. But number two, he says we rejoice in these sufferings. Why? Because sufferings produce perseverance, produces character. And as that happens, it produces more hope in my life. And all of this, watch this, all of this is confirmed in us by the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Christian life is not a head game. The Christian life is not a faith game. You know, that, man, I just have to have more faith, you know, and things are going to get better. If I could just produce more faith in me, you know, things could get better. Man, I am glad that my salvation and my walk with Christ is not based on my performance. That's not grace. Performance is law. It's, you know, if I'm doing well, God's pleased with me and things are going to go good. But if I screw up, the hammer's about to fall. God's got his foot on my throat. He's just waiting for me to mess up one more time and bam, there I go. That's not grace, folks. And neither is it grace that somehow I have to muster up some amount of faith, you know, in and of myself. No. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you know how small a mustard seed is? It's barely visible. I don't know about you, but when Jesus said that, that really brings me great hope. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, he says, you can say to this mountain, be thou cast into the sea, and it will be done. Now, that's hyperbole. You understand that? He's not meaning that you can actually say to that mountain, you know, be arisen from the earth and be cast into the ocean. He's talking hyperbole. He's saying is the mountain of problems that you may have in your life, the issue that you're dealing with, you can speak to that issue with a mustard seed of faith, which is trust and belief in God, that He is going to see me through this regardless of what it is, regardless of how bad it looks. He's going to see me through that. How? Because of the grace of God in my life. Because God's mercy is in my life. Because God's goodness is in my life. I want you to think about that for just a second. What would your life be without God's goodness in it? You see, we often take grace for granted. Oh yes, I became a Christian. Maybe I prayed the prayer when I was, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 or 14 or 15. Even got baptized, you know. But we take our salvation and the grace that is ours in Christ, we take it for granted. What would your life be like without God's grace in it? Without His mercy? Without His goodness in your life? Whew. That makes me shudder to even think about that. And so Paul says, look, you have the grace of God in your life, so suffering is going to produce perseverance, it's going to produce character, and therefore more hope, and all of it's confirmed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as he says here, has been poured into our heart. His love has been poured into our heart. Isn't that a beautiful picture? The Holy Spirit has poured His love into our hearts. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel empty. Oh, what, you, Pastor Tom? Yeah. There's times I just feel empty. And I say, Lord, I just need you to fill my cup. I got a little dribble down there at the bottom. There's not much left. I just need you to fill my cup to overflowing. You know, that's one of the things I pray every day. Lord, just fill me up so much so that I'm overflowing so I can overflow on others, because I don't want it to be me, you know, jumping out on others. I want it to be you within me spilling out on others, because then good things will happen instead of bad things. If it's me spilling out on others, then it might not be so good. But as we read verses 3 through 5 here, it says, sufferings produce perseverance. How? Let's talk about it practically. How? You see, when you go through sufferings, this word means, sufferings means oppression, affliction, and tribulation. That's how I know that you and I, no matter how long we've been with the Lord, how, you know, where we're at in our relationship, you are going to go through one of these. I think when Roger mentioned this last week, I didn't say anything because he said, you know, he was quoting somebody that said, you know, if you haven't been going through a trial lately, hang on. It's coming. And you know, I've preached that many, many, many times. And it's true. And if Roger was here, he might give testimony of some of the trials he's gone through. But these trials, these afflictions, these oppressions, every one of us go through. Jesus promised that we would go through tribulation. Did you know that? In John chapter 16, he says, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will. In some form or another, if you're being faithful to God, if you're holding out, His name and your faith, and you are representing Him correctly, you will have tribulation. So how does this work? Well, when you go through these, when I go through these kinds of things, I need strength. I need help. I need endurance. I need hope. I need grace. I need all of God's resources to get through these things. 2 years ago, it was just on November 3rd, 2 years ago, that my father passed. And, you know, before that happened, I went up a few weeks before he passed, and man, he was in bad shape. He was just in really bad shape. He had lost the ability to walk, you know, through neuropathy in his legs. He couldn't walk, and he was at that point. He needed almost full care. You know, it was just horrible for my father. You know, it was very humiliating for him. He'd been a very strong, independent man all of his life, you know, could pretty much do anything. And then to be, you know, debilitated to this point where he just needed care, you know, you can't walk, you can't get yourself to the bathroom, you can't do anything. It was so hard. And I remember I was up there, you know, helping and doing what I could, and I just remember going into the bedroom and just saying, oh God, I can't do this. This is awful. God, this is awful. It's awful for my father, and it's awful for me. It's awful for my mother. Lord, I just need your strength. This is awful. And you know, this is part of life. I couldn't say, oh God, why are you doing this to me? We need to get some spiritual backbone. Look, all of us are going to go through things like this. You know, unless Jesus comes first and takes us home, every one of us is going to face death. Physical death in this world. And we have to deal with that reality. And it's not, oh God, why me? You know, it's like, God, why have you allowed me so much extra time? Why have you allowed me to live 90 years old? My father said many times, he said, I'm ready to go be with the Lord. He had lived a full life, a faithful life to the Lord. And so you and I go through these kinds of things. We need help. We need endurance. You know, my father needed help. I couldn't sit in the corner and have a pity party with how bad I felt. I needed his strength. And so God granted me his strength. I was able to do what I was needed to do. You see, God does this. Watch this. God gives us those things by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Because of the grace of God, this access that we have, He gives us the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the Holy Spirit is grace personified. The Holy Spirit is grace that is living within us because He is the living Spirit of God. He comes into us to give us strength, to give us endurance. And see, as we endure, as we persevere, and we go through those things that God brings to us, guess what? We develop more perseverance because we have seen the grace of God working in our lives, giving us strength. And when you go through those kinds of things, you're like, phew, that was not fun. That was difficult. But God, you saw me through it. And see, you begin to develop faith. You begin to develop some perseverance. You begin to develop character. I remember in my younger years as a preacher, as a Christian for that matter, you know, I never suffered with much illness. I was always very physically fit. I did almost every kind of conceivable job, you know, and I was kind of proud of the fact that I could do all these things. I could build things. I could kick carpet. I could paint. I could do this. I could do that. You know, I was very proud of that kind of thing. And I had developed a bit of a callousness for those that struggled with illness, who struggled with problems and issues in their body. And so guess what? God allowed me to have a back issue. You know? All of a sudden, out of the blue, I develop a very debilitating back issue. And, you know, I could have sat around and said, oh God, why did you do this to me? I can't believe you did this to me, God. What kind of God are you? Give me a bad back. And that's silliness. That's nonsense. That's immaturity. That would be immaturity on my part. You see, Paul says, look, outwardly, meaning in the body, outwardly we are wasting away. But inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. God is more concerned about your inward person, the real you in Christ, than he is about your body. How about the example of Johnny Erickson Tata? Here is this beautiful young lady who is struck down at a very young age. I believe she was only 18, 19, something like that. She dove into shallow water, foolishly, dove into shallow water. She hit her head on the bottom. It broke her neck, and she was completely paralyzed from the neck down. She, at this point in her life, has had a little bit of use of her arms. She can't really use her hands. That's why she wears these leather harnesses. And, you know, she was looking for, towards a whole life, of being completely incapacitated. What did she do? Did she go crawl in the corner? She couldn't even crawl, right? Did she wheelchair over into the corner and just, you know, cry and have a pity party and say, poor me? No. She used whatever she had left for God's glory. And she began to share as she, did she struggle? Of course she did. Just like any one of us would. She struggled through it. And she put her faith in God and she cried out to God for help, for His grace. And guess what she began to do? She began to make greeting cards by drawing with a pencil in her teeth. She draws better with her teeth than I can draw with my hands. I have no artistic ability whatsoever. And she began to draw these beautiful cards. Then she began to speak about how God was seeing her through this horrible, horrible tragedy that happened in her life. God was seeing her through. What is it that God's taking you through? What are you dealing with right now? What is the difficulty? What is the trouble? What's the suffering, the oppression, the affliction, the tribulation that you're going through right now? God wants you to cry out to Him for His grace in your life to see you through it. Because His grace not only saves us, but His grace is that means by which He enables us to stand in relationship to Him. His grace enables us to live in an overcoming way, no matter what we are going through. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. Please don't think I'm trying to minimize anything that you might be going through. But what I am here to say is to challenge you that God's grace can see you through it. God's grace can see me through it. How do I know? It's not based on my promise. Don't take Pastor Tom's words for it. Look at the Word here and see that God's grace will produce perseverance in your life when you go through these things. He will. But there's one thing you have to do. You've got to ask for it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Mike Windsor will read that for us.
Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Isn't it interesting that God calls His throne a throne of grace? And you see, there's something that you and I have to do. We have to ask for it. We have to go and ask for it in our time of need. You can't just sit there and, you know, poor me pity party and expect God's going to do something without you asking. He wants you to develop some spiritual muscles. Now, when I was much younger, you know, got out of high school and me and my buds were, you know, go down and start pumping iron. I know y'all can tell. Pump all the time. But you had to work at it. You had to break those muscles down in order to build them back up again and they come back stronger. I had one friend, his name was Don, and he was as skinny as a rail. Don was about 6'1". And skinny as a rail. I used to tease him unmercifully. I'd say, Don, if you drank some tomato juice, you'd look like a thermometer. I'd say, Don, if you don't run around the shower, you won't get wet. I'd say, Don, you got to be careful because you're going to slip down the drain in the shower. Oh, I could go on and on and on. Anyway, Don refused to work out with us. He just wouldn't do it. And sometimes we actually dragged him and threw him down on the bench, you know, trying to get him to do some bench presses. And he just wouldn't sit there and refuse. And it was so funny. You know, this was like graduated high school. And I kept in touch with him over the years. I went back a few years later. And man, Don had filled out. Don was now 6'1", at about 250, and man, he was buff. But the funny thing is, he never worked out. It's just his genetics. Boom! I don't have those genetics, you know. But it was just hilarious that he himself didn't, you know, really put a whole lot of effort into it. Guess what? Your spiritual muscles, your spiritual faith, you've got to exercise them. I've got to exercise them. And God wants us to do it so that He can produce stronger faith muscles in us. Number three, and we'll end with this. How do I know that God will see me through this? How do I know that God will give me the grace that is sufficient for me? Because God promises it. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Paul had an affliction. Paul had a terrible affliction in his life. Bible scholars think that it may have been something with his eyes. He even says in some of his letters, "See by which such large letters that I write to you." He says to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 3, he says, "You Galatians, if you could have, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me." Paul had some kind of affliction in his eyes. This may have been the affliction that he was crying out to God for. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "I asked the Lord three times. I pleaded with the Lord, take this away from me. And the Lord said to me three times, no." Did y'all hear that? I pleaded with the Lord three times, and I asked Him, "Please, Lord, take this from me. Take away this affliction." And three times the Lord said,
no.
Say it again.
No.
There goes the health and wealth prosperity gospel. There's times the Lord will say no to you and me. Even when we ask Him nicely. You know how kids are. They're mean to you. But then when they want something, "Oh, Dad. I see some squirming going on." How do we know He's going to give us the grace? Because He promises us. And number three, God's commitment to us is seen right here in these verses. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 9, "Since we have been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him," that is Christ. "For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only so, but we also rejoice in the grace of God." Paul knew. Paul experienced it himself. Christ died for us, even when we were powerless, even when we were sinners, even when we were enemies of God, that we might be restored. I end with 1 John chapter 3, verse 1b. "See how great a love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." Is that you this morning? Have you put your faith in Christ so that you can receive His grace? And are you laying hold of the grace of God in your life so that you can overcome, so that you can persevere? Where are you at today? Let's pray. I'm just going to give us a quiet minute to respond and let the Lord speak to us from these words. I've been talking a lot. But I do believe the Lord has been talking. So listen to Him and respond in your heart to Him. If you're here today and you've never reached out in faith and laid hold of the grace of God through Jesus Christ, then what a beautiful day to put your faith in Christ. The Word says, if you hear His voice, today, don't harden your heart. And so if you're here today and you sense God has been speaking to you, and you've been resisting, you've been going your own way, doing your own thing, but you hear God's voice and you sense Him calling you and drawing you in your heart, and you want to respond, yes, Lord, I want to respond and put my faith in Christ. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you today. I'm going to ask if you would just signify this by raising your hand. If that's you, and you know you need to put your faith in Christ today, and you are wanting to do that, would you just raise your hand right now? Amen. Amen. All across the sanctuary. Thank you. God hears this. And then this grace that is ours in Christ to enable us to stand. Maybe you're going through a difficult time. Maybe you're going through one of these sufferings, tribulations. Is that you? You need the grace of God in your life in a special way today? Would you raise your hand as well? Amen. Father, you see these hands. There are those that need to open their heart to you, put their faith in Christ. If that's you, take that step of faith right now. You can pray a prayer like this. Lord, I come to you in faith. I know I need to be forgiven of my sins. I believe your Son, Jesus, died for my sins, and He rose from the dead that I might have life. Forgive me. Jesus, come into my life. Give me your grace that I might be yours, and I'm going to follow you. Pray that in your heart right now. And then if you're here and you've been going through a tough time, a trial, Lord, I pray for your strength for each one of these, that you will grant them as they ask your grace. So if that's you today, and you need to pray this, God, give me your grace. Give me your strength that I might stand strong, that I might persevere. I want to be like Jesus. Thank you for the forgiveness that is mine in the grace of Christ. Father, I thank you that you are so faithful and that your grace is sufficient for us. I bless these people. I bless them, Lord, to know your grace in all its fullness. Lord, give us a new revelation of the grace of God. I bless them as they go forth from this place. I pray over them in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And all the people of God said, amen, amen. If you want prayer for any reason, come on up to the front. And then following that, we are going to stack the chairs. We could use some help doing that. Thank you so much. God bless you all today.